I believe next Sunday is the first Sunday of April. It comes in on the 1st. It'll be April Fool's Day, but I also think it's the first Sunday, and I assume we'll have a business meeting next Sunday night. We usually do on the first Sunday, and we mentioned that in the bulletin. As we begin tonight, I want to read four passages of Scripture. The first is in Acts 18, and then Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 16, and 2 Timothy 4. In Acts 18, beginning at verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, and I think technically that should be Aquila, but I've heard it Aquila all my life, and it's hard for me to say anything else. Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, this is Paul, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. In verse 18 of that chapter, Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in censure, for he had a vow. He came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And then notice in verse 24 that Apollos is mentioned, and then in verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And then in Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. In 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. And 2 Timothy 4, verse 19, salute Prisca, another way for Priscilla, and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. I think I have just read to you every place where Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned in the Bible. I announce the lesson tonight as the Odd Couple. There used to be a television program called that, didn't it? And the couple we're studying tonight did not have the same relationship that the fellows on that program had. And you know, sometimes I see some very odd couples. I'm using odd tonight in the sense of unusual. And I see some unusual couples, especially when I see some of the things that are being advertised on television. And even when the couple is according to God's will, I see some very unusual couples. It's a little unusual to see a man that's about 6'10 or 11 and a woman that's about 4'6 married to each other. They look a little odd, don't they? Nothing wrong with it, but a little odd. But the couple we're talking about tonight is odd or unusual in another way. Never in the Bible is one of them mentioned without the other. You've known some people like that, haven't you? I've known some people, preachers of the gospel, for example, that I don't know that I ever heard their name mentioned without the wife's name being mentioned. Some of the comics that we have, it's hard to mention Dagwood without mentioning Blondie. It's hard to mention Popeye without mentioning Olive Oil. They're just always a couple, aren't they? And you begin to think about couples in the history of our country, presidents and their wives, and some of them, when you mention one, it's hard for me to think about FDR without thinking about Eleanor. They were just sort of a couple, weren't they? And here we have a sense where neither one of these, Aquila or Priscilla, is ever mentioned alone. Aquila was an individual man. Priscilla was an individual woman. But they're always mentioned together. We had a preacher in the Chattanooga area several years ago, Brother Howard Parker. And I had several people say to me, after he had worked in that area for several years, you don't see Brother Parker without his wife with him. They're always together as a couple when they're out working and visiting. And that's a little bit unusual. I want to suggest to you tonight, and don't take this to heart until I've discussed the whole lesson, but I want to suggest to you that one of the best teams in the work of the church, or for that matter any other type of work, is a husband and wife team. Now, I am aware that the Bible talks about single people, and single people can be Christians. My oldest daughter, who's 51, has never married. And one time I was preaching a lesson along this line, and I said, it is the normal thing for people to get married. And after the lesson, she said, do you mean I'm abnormal? And I said, well, what I meant is it's the usual thing. She said, you think I'm unusual? So I went back and thought this through just a little bit, and I can find several instances in the New Testament where a single person was very important in the work of the Lord. As far as I know, Paul was never married. Paul was one of the outstanding preachers of the gospel and did a tremendous work as a single person. I don't know for sure, but perhaps Dorcas, Lydia, and Phoebe were three women who were single. At least what's described about them was their work as single women. And in some of these instances, these single women were very important in the work of the church, especially in the area of hospitality and doing things perhaps behind the scenes for some of those that were preachers. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were two sisters and a brother that made up a household, and yet all three of them were single, at least as far as we know, and they were very important in the history of the church. I also am aware, when you study the Bible, that there are other teams that work together, and much of the work of the church is done better as a team than as an individual. There are some visits right now that's more difficult for me to make than when my wife was alive. There were a lot of places that I could go, especially if there was a woman at home by herself, when my wife could go with me and the two of us could make an appropriate visit when it might not have been appropriate for me to go alone. And now that I am single in the sense that I'm by myself, many times I will ask one of you men to go with me if I'm going to make a visit somewhere. I am very, very much aware of what can happen. One's reputation can be torn down even if nothing wrong is done. Just an accusation is enough to tear down one's reputation. And I have been extremely careful down through the years and still am. And very seldom will I visit a woman who's at home by herself. There may be instances where it is necessary under emergency situations or where things are different, but I have a lady who is an agent in one of the insurance policies that I have. And when she calls and wants to come by the house, I've got two rocking chairs on the front porch. And most of the time we do our discussion in those rocking chairs on the front porch. Because, you see, if she comes into my house and my neighbors don't know who she is or what's going on, it's very easy to get something started. The other day, I was going to give some get-well cards and sympathy cards to a lady in the Lions Club that's sending those out for the club. And so in the Lions Club, and you know I talk so loud that everybody can hear everything I say anyway, and I went over where she was sitting, and she is a widow. Her husband hasn't been dead very long. And I mentioned to her the cards, and I said, I'll get those to you. I meant to bring them tonight, but forgot them. And then I said, where several of them heard it, if you're in town and get an opportunity, just come by the house. And I meant to come to my front door, and I'd give her those cards, but the secretary of the club, who likes to pick on me because I pick on her quite a bit, when I went back and sat down, said, I heard you invite a woman to come to your house. And I said, yes, that's all it'll take. You just report that one place in town and it'll be all over town before long. But teamwork is very important. You remember Paul and Barnabas? You remember Paul and Silas later on as a team? You remember Barnabas and John Mark went as a team? John Mark was such at that point that Paul didn't want him to go, and so they disagreed and went their separate ways, but they went as teams. And many of the times when you're reading these letters that Paul wrote, he will refer to Timothy being with him or Titus being with him or some of these others. Teamwork is very important. But having mentioned that there are many examples of single people being valuable in the Lord's service, and every single person in this congregation is valuable, and mentioning that there may be a team of two men that will work together or two of you ladies that will work together, I come back to the point that I'm making tonight that, in my opinion, the best team that's ever been put together is a husband-wife team. I looked through our directory today. We have about 13 husbands and wives that are here most of the time, at least. We have a few others where both are members, but one's maybe like Brother Birdwell is in the nursing home and is not able to be here. But we have several husband-wife teams in this congregation that can be very valuable in our work. Let me share with you, as I look at Aquila and Priscilla, what seems to stand out. They shared the same interests and the same goals. You notice it didn't say that Aquila was a tent maker. It said that they were tent makers. Evidently, they worked side by side, even in their business, in order to be able to make a living. And when Paul was of the same trade, he took a liking to their situation and was associated with them. And it seems that they had many things in common. I grew up on the farm, and I saw this type of teamwork between husbands and wives in the farm community. There was many a farm wife who would get up early and get the meal cooked and then go to the field and work right alongside her husband until it was time to go and put the meal on the table, and then that afternoon would go right back and work. I knew some women when I was growing up that were just about as good or maybe even better in some instances on the farm than the man. But I know of many cases where I think they're being able to be successful, especially in the more difficult times, economically speaking, that it was when those two worked together. And I've seen some situations where a man had one job and maybe the woman was at home, which is also a work and a job. But the woman would support that man and go with him if he needed her to go with him, and the man would support his wife when he would come home. And I've seen some instances where both the husband and wife worked outside the home. And they would support each other and have an interest in each other's jobs. And then when they were at home, they would work together to do the things that needed to be done. It's just an excellent team, as we see here. They were involved in their interest together. They were involved in common goals, even religiously. When anything is mentioned here, it mentions them together. They had common goals in life. It is so much easier when a husband and wife have the same goals in the different areas of life. If one's going in one direction, one's going in another direction, and one likes this and another likes this, it's a little bit difficult. I always said that the next time I married, I was going to ask if the woman involved liked baseball and football. My wife was not a sports fan, and she probably would have liked to ask me and would have told me if she ever she outlived me and married again, she's going to get somebody that liked certain types of music, because there were some things she liked that I didn't like. We were able to, I was able to put up with, and she was able to put up with, if we had two televisions, I could watch sports on one of them, and she could watch something else on the other. But the times that were so significant and so important was when there was a common interest. When our children were playing in the band in high school, and we both went with them and even went on trips with them as far as Florida, and the whole family was together and both of us were interested in the same thing, those were some of the best times that we ever had. common interest and common goals, working together. They also were a team in people-related activities. Look at the hospitality that they showed, especially to Paul. And then look at the mutual greetings that are given in these four passages that I read. You have Paul saying, "Greet Aquila and Priscilla," in one of the passages at least, and in another you have him saying, "Aquila and Priscilla, greet you." And in each case, he mentions them together. Sometimes in larger congregations, couples will be assigned to stand at the door and greet visitors as they come in. All of us do that here, as they come in and as they leave too, and I'm thankful for that. But in the church at Henderson, for example, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 doors out of the auditorium. And it was always hard for me to cover any more than 3 of those at the same time. And so we would have different people, and usually it would be a husband and a wife. Sometimes it'd be 2 ladies that would be back there together, or 2 men together. But greeting people, letting them know we were glad they were there. And here again, the best team that I've found is that husband-wife team. I've even come to believe that in teaching in the church, in the smaller classes, that a husband and wife team can be very helpful. Usually, from about the 6th grade and down, we have ladies teaching the classes, and from somewhere along there and up, we have men teaching the classes. I have noticed in cases where a man will go in with his wife, and maybe if it's those little ones, she does most of the teaching, but he's there to help and to help provide the watching for the needs and do what he can do. And they work together as a team. That's an excellent situation. And if they're a little bit older, the man may need to do most of the teaching, but having his wife in that class with him to keep the role and to get acquainted with the girls in the class and to do things together in providing times to get together, a husband-wife team is just excellent in a Bible class. And that brings up something else that's indicated in this. There is nothing, in my opinion, that's more important in the work of the church, religiously speaking, than the husband-wife team. Stop and think about it for a moment. A man can't be an elder unless he has an appropriate wife. A man can't be a deacon without considering the qualifications of his wife. And especially in the younger years, it is extremely difficult to be a preacher without having a good wife. I was told on more than one occasion that they hired me to get Judy. And there may have been more truth to that than fiction. But I don't believe I could have done the work that I've done in the work of the church if it hadn't been for my wife there beside me. Many times she was in the background. And as I look back now, I realize there were times that I got credit for something when really she should have received the credit for what was done. And if I had my time to do over, I would make some changes in that area. And the only reason that I'm able to go on now as a widower is the fact that I have the background and I'm at a point in my life where I think I can be effective in meeting work and working like I am with you here without a wife by my side. But I'd hate to think about, as a 25-year-old or a 35-year-old man, going into a congregation, especially a larger congregation, and trying to do the work of a local minister without my wife being there with me. There's just something about the husband-wife team that is different from anything else. And even in cases where one may not be a preacher or an elder or a deacon, just having a family with the husband and wife both interested in working together and maybe going out and visiting together to invite people to church, and in some instances a husband and wife team has been able to do a home Bible study and the husband-wife can go into any set of circumstances and conduct a home Bible study in an excellent way. It's just the best team that I have ever seen. They seemingly use their possessions together. Notice that he addresses the church that met in their house. This was in the early history of the church, and in many instances they didn't have church buildings and had not erected places like that to worship. And many of the services were in places where they could find an opportunity to meet, and many of them were in houses. And here's a husband and wife who used their house. That indicates that they may have been fairly well off if they were able to have a house that was big enough that they could bring the whole church together in their house. But they were willing to have what they had, or to use what they had for the cause of Christ. Some of the closest friends that we ever had were a couple by the name of John and Betty Rickard. Betty grew up in the Henderson area. Her dad, James, Brother Williams, preached in this area for years. And John grew up in Alabama. He was an elder in Tullahoma, where I worked for several years. And then he moved to Henderson a year before I did and became an elder there. And I probably served under him as an elder more than any one man that I've ever been associated with as an elder. But John and Betty Rickard, in a congregation as big as Henderson, would invite almost every new member that came into their house for a meal. I've never seen anyone that showed hospitality any better than they did. And when you went into their house, they were both involved. They were both involved in seeing that the food was in the right place and that everybody was welcome and everybody felt comfortable. They worked together as a team. That kind of hospitality that's shown by families in the church is very important. And there just isn't a better team in the work than when you have a husband and wife together. Now, there are several of us in the congregation here that don't have a wife or a husband that's working with us. And we still can be valuable, and we still need to put forth every effort that we can. And I would challenge each man that's here, whose wife is not here, to be the best Christian you can be, and each woman who's here, whose husband is not here, to be the best Christian that you can be. But I do think that we need to appreciate the value of our couples that are in the congregation and how they can work together and do so much in the Lord's kingdom. And we need to appreciate each one that's a part of our work here. And so tonight, when I say I want to talk to you about an odd couple, they're unusual in that you never hear one of them mentioned without the other one mentioned. And if you stop and think about it, in marriage, two are become one. There is that togetherness, that oneness that ought to be there in every part of work, at home, in the church, in the community. I have never seen a couple that was perfect. One man said he and his wife had lived together 40-something years and they had never had a cross word during that time. I don't want to judge, but I believe that he's got a short memory or didn't tell the complete truth. Judy and I didn't agree on everything, but I always tried to tell her that she was entitled to her ridiculous opinion. And we didn't have to agree on everything. There were times that she had a better opinion than I did, and there were times that I needed to listen to her and times she needed to listen to me. But we needed to come together. I like what one man said. He said he and his wife never did go to bed angry at each other. He said sometimes we stay up all night, but we never go to bed angry with each other. And there's a lesson in that, that we need to have the right attitude. Let me share with you something, and I may have told you this before, but one thing happened back 40 years ago that I will never forget if I live to be 100. I had a funeral for a 19-year-old young man killed in an automobile accident. What happened was he and his wife got in an argument and he ran out in a steam of anger, jumped in the car, had a wreck and killed himself. The last thing that she could remember was the argument that they had. Don't go to bed any night without having a peaceful attitude toward each other, especially in your home. Even if you don't agree on everything, at least have an understanding and don't let a disagreement do away with the love that needs to be there between a husband and wife and in the family circle. And from that time on, I have tried to practice the idea that I would never leave home with there being anything that was not solved to the extent that we could solve it. Because I didn't want something to happen to me or to my wife or to some of the children, and that be the last memories that we had. It's important to have that togetherness and that unity and that oneness that we see with Aquila and Priscilla. Odd, meaning unusual, different, always mentioned together. And keep in mind that there is the place for the single Christian. There is the place for two men working together and two women working together in teamwork. But I still believe that the best team that's ever been put together in the community and in any way you want to talk about it, and especially in the work of the church, is like Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife. And wherever we find ourselves tonight, single, single again, or husband and wife together, let's all determine that we'll do the best we can under the circumstances that we have, with God's help, to be the best Christians that we can be. If you're not a Christian, God wants you to come and be baptized into Christ. If you are a Christian and need to ask for forgiveness publicly, He wants you to come and do that as together we stand and sing.